I got jaws like a bear trap, teeth like a razor, got a Maytag tongue with a sensitive taster. Born out in Texas, called a land of beef. Ever catch a mustard green, it's on the hill like a meat and the meat man. Hey, oh, to see me eat, man. Hey, girl, I'm the meat man.
You're listening to The Best Barbecue Show, the show where we talk, taste, and even try to cook the best barbecue in Texas, which is the best barbecue in the world. How you doing today, Stover?
I am doing awesome. We're doing a little Snapchat here. You can see us on Snap. what's our handle there?
Whoops.
We'll just play you all the like in social media stuff that we get. We'll play it for you on the air so you don't have to bother going on our @bestbarbecue page.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, with you can these snaps, you can just run them forever now.
What are you looking at on your phone?
Michelle Obama went to Terry Black's today.
Michelle Obama went to Terry Black's?
Yep.
Nice one, Terry Black's. That's a good get.
I think it was today. The article just came out like 10 minutes ago.
Wow, that's good barbecue news. I wonder what she had.
Very classy move. She wrote him a little letter.
Can you read it?
Dear Terry Black's barbecue staff, I wanted to write and thank you all for the delicious barbecue, tasty sides, and amazing desserts for our flight home from Austin. It was some of the best barbecue my staff and I have ever had. I realize we put in a last-minute request, and your kindness means so much to me. Again, thank you so much for the wonderful mean. I think she meant meat.
Meme?
It made a long flight home a lot better. Michelle Obama, I guess, didn't proofread it, but it's a really sweet note.
She also...
I think she meant meat or meal, but she wrote mean. It's like the second last sentence.
Mean? A wonderful mean. That's not even on the same row as an L. I had to check my keyboard. So last year when she was in Austin, she ordered from Micklethwaite.
That's another top one.
Yeah, she knows where to go. I wonder where she should go next time she comes.
I don't know. Maybe she'll do something classic. Maybe she'll go out to Louis Miller.
I mean, I know it's hard for the former first lady to travel around a city, of course. But I'd like to see her at one of the ones a little outside of town.
Yeah, I can't imagine what their schedules are like. I mean, she probably didn't even go there. It sounds like they might have gotten an order and eaten it on the flight.
So this week we're talking about what was once known as 12 Bones Barbecue, you might have heard of in Austin.
Texas Ranch.
Texas Ranch Barbecue. So that's the new name, so make sure that you search for that one. The pitmaster is Marco Oglesby.
Cool guy.
Which I've been pronouncing his name many different ways since I started seeing him on Instagram months ago. He's been up and running since the summer in South Austin, and it's really taken off. He's got some big fans. In fact, we just met an awesome pitmaster from the SS Pit Crew.
Yeah, Robert. I think it's SNS Pit Crew.
Okay. The SNS Pit Crew, and that's Robert Sierra. He's a real meat man from San Marcos.
Oh, he's sweet.
So we hung out with him for a bit, and Clay and all that at Snow's, of course. And he told us, without even telling him that we were doing Marco, that his favorite in Austin was Texas Ranch Barbecue, 12 Bones, and Marco.
Yeah, Marco Oglesby you'll hear in the interview, but he is a seasoned pitmaster from Opie's and Kreutz.
Yeah, so he co-ran the pits at Kreutz Bryan location, that's Kreutz Market, spelled Cruz, K-R-E-U-Z. A lot of people mispronounce that one. And then he also ran, as you said, Opie's and Schmidt Family Barbecue.
Yeah, and Schmidt's good.
So he knows his stuff. He's been putting in a lot of work, and he's doing kind of unique in the sense that he's not saying brisket is his specialty. He's pork ribs, hence the bones in his original name.
Yeah, he likes to stack them bones.
And he just blasts those with heat. You know, you always hear about low and slow, and he goes a little hotter. Like, he goes around 300, he said.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's a huge... I wouldn't say blasting it, but, you know, it's a little hotter.
He says he does it hours faster than people, like, originally would tell him.
I mean, you're talking about 50 to 75 degrees hotter than most places, and pork can take that, though. You know, the beef he's probably a little more gentle with or puts it in the back, but he's using a reverse system now, so, you know, who knows how the heat distributes in that compared to a regular one. I've never really cooked on one.
I'd be interested in doing it. You were just sketching me a little drawing of how those work. And I think I understand a little more. The smoke circulates a lot more over the meat. It's pushed over it and under it.
Well, it's like instead of the chimney being on the opposite side of the fire, the smoke actually goes through the it goes through without actually touching through a pipe and then gets spit back out on the other side to go over the meat and then out the exhaust, which is on the same side as the fire.
Yeah, so in a regular offset smoker, it just sort of goes all around the meat. It's not as controlled how it's flowing. Is that right?
There's
a steel plate in there.
Well, so in a lot of them, there's a steel plate. So the smoke goes under the meat, but doesn't actually touch it, and then goes back over the meat on top. So it actually touches the meat once it's coming back the other way. This one actually had a pipe. So the actual smoker is bigger, and there's just a little pipe feeding the smoke through it.
It seems like similar in concept. I know, again, I'm a home cook, but a convection oven circulates the heat. Is that a similar concept? Like it's a more even cook, maybe, if you do it right?
Maybe. We'd have to go back and ask him, but I'm not sure if the smoke is actually traveling. You know, a lot of times people use them because they want the fire and the exhaust to be on the same side, whether it's because it's on a trailer or the space you're using. I think that's one of the reasons people have them, but I'm sure it cooks differently. And it seems to be creating more heat. And the other thing that was interesting is while we were standing there, you could hear the juices off the meat hitting that pipe and sizzling. So that pipe is hot.
Yeah. It says, when I've been reading about it, a lot of what I'm reading is a lot of the benefits is that pipe or that flow, how they create it, acts as a heat sink. So you can add your fuel, and even if it spikes, it won't go as hard as just a regular offset. Like it won't spike as much, which I know from experience using that smoker in your backyard. I learned firsthand those two times we did it, how adding a log can just cause that temperature just to go up so much, like 40 degrees if you do it wrong.
Yeah, that's why I've been chopping the logs into smaller pieces and just kind of adding them as needed. The other thing is you don't know. I've started trying to be more consistent finding wood. Actually, Robert had a great suggestion, so I'm going to try the guy that he suggested for wood. But I've been seeing that good wood is easier to cook with because it just lights when you want it to. Whereas some of the wood I bought from, you know, I had some guys out in the country, I guess, deliver it to me through Craigslist. And the stuff they gave me, like, was half wet or not cured or, you know, that stuff was, I wish I remembered his name, I'd call him out right now. But he said it was cured and then a bunch of it just kind of like smoked and didn't really light.
I talked to Marco, since he's so into pork ribs, I like talking about this because some people are into it and some people aren't. Removing that membrane off the back of the rack of ribs, technically you should do it because that's the best practice for getting all as much smoke in as you can and the feel for it. But it's so much work to take that off that a lot of these guys, even the top pit masters, just leave it on. Franklin leaves it on.
Well, and I mean, it's not that hard. You see, most of the time it peels off in one piece.
Unless you got like a jacked up one or you're not, your knife skills aren't up to snuff, and if you're doing a big cook it takes a long time.
Well, that's like it you're just managing time at that point. I mean, it's like when I cook a brisket, I take that little silver skin and I try to get as much, and you know, I peel off as much of that as I can. Mm-hmm. But when you're doing 50, 60, 100 briskets, maybe you don't have that much attention on it and you just trim it really nice and throw it in there.
That membrane doesn't taste bad to me. I don't mind chewing on that. It gets kind of crispy and it's like a skin almost.
Yeah, it's like,
I like
on
it.
On the beef ribs, I eat that whole thing. I eat the crispy part on the bottom. I eat the soft part on the top. I eat I love on a lot of the ribs, there'll be that one corner that's a little overcooked. That's kind of crunchy. It's got a great bark on it. All about it.
I liked hearing Brian Bracewell from Southside Market talk about the old days. And how people would come in and ask them to remove that black part from the brisket.
Well, there's still places. There's some of the more drive-through fast food places in town. They will scrape the bark right off the brisket and just give you this like naked brisket. And I think that's a disservice. I like how, I mean, what I liked is he was saying that people don't do that anymore. Now everyone wants the bark. They want the burn ends. They want those parts. And I think when you have someone who really knows barbecue, it's like they're ordering a filet. They only want, when I go to Snow's, like they know I want a piece off the end and then a couple good slices. They know I don't want lean. They know, although the lean, the last time I was at Snow's, she threw in a little lean. God, it's so good.
You like the lean? I worry about lean because sometimes to me it tastes like roast beef. Not there, but other places.
So far, everywhere I've been, even the lean at Southside was good. I mean, if you do it right, the lean should be good too. But the other thing they're doing is they're trimming the crap out of those briskets. So a lot of places you'll see it'll be the brisket will be really thin at the end, and it'll actually curl up, and you'll actually see juices pull. That part will cook too fast. So what a lot of people do now is they just cut 2, 3, 4 inches off the end of that brisket so that that back piece is thick, and it makes a great piece of meat.
Yeah, I'm not going to complain if I only have lean when I go out to a good barbecue place because I'm still happy.
Yeah, and if they do it right, a lot of that lean still has a nice little layer of fat on the top.
It was nice to be back at Snow's. I actually beat you there this time.
Yeah, that was Saturday was a rough morning. I don't know exactly why, but
it was cold.
It was freezing, and I was just moving slowly. And then the next thing I knew, you were like, I'm on my way. And I was like, cool, hold me a spot.
Listen to how big of babies we are that we complain about it being cold when it's like 50 degrees. All you people out there in actual cold weather, you're allowed to shake your fists at us for complaining.
To be honest, it was like 41 when we woke up.
Yeah, but I moved from Portland, and like 41 would have been a normal temperature for the morning.
I've ridden my motorcycle to Snow's when it's like 45 degrees outside, and it warms up by the time you get there, but it's rough.
Yeah, don't forget Meat Man. Yoni rode to Snow's in the hurricane.
That was in the Jeep. It was pouring.
Yeah, he wasn't on his motorcycle. The
motorcycle would have been a terrible idea.
So we were talking about brisket. You remember that one time I bought you that grocery store smoke flavor added brisket from Brazil?
From Brazil, yeah.
Yeah, so one of our meat men here, Meat and Fire Barbecue, he sent us a little tip. He was at Walmart. And look at this one. This is uncured pulled beef with smoke flavor. The Great Value brand, so you know it's good.
It sounds like we're going to have to get some.
So here's what Meat and Fire Barbecue, you can find him on Instagram. Here's what he has to say. Here's some gems from Walmart in California. The Angus beef brisket is, and this is in quotes, seasoned, sliced, and slow smoked to perfection. And then, so he says it might not be in that order. And it's only $8 a pound, and he said it says perfect on the package. So I'm sure they're right.
$8 a pound is a lot. A brisket before you cook it is like $3 or $4 a pound max.
Yeah, but look how good this looks. And look, it says right there, great value.
Okay. First of all, you're asking me to take a look at how good this looks. I'm pretty sure that's a package. There's no picture. It's a picture of the meat. I don't see the actual meat. It's like under a wrapper. So, yes, it looks so, the picture looks so good, but who knows what the meat inside looks like.
It looks nothing like that. I'm sure it's gray and looks like cat food. That's my guess. No offense, Walmart. I'm sure you make a good smoked brisket.
All offense to Walmart.
It's funny you can call something a smoked brisket and then say smoke flavor added. How about we hear from Marco, formerly of 12 Bones, now Texas Ranch Barbecue.
Yeah, Mr. Oglesby.
Let's take a listen. Away.
I worked at Opie's Barbecue out in Spicewood, Texas. I was the pitmaster there for about 7 years, 7, 8 years. And then after that, I went to Schmidt Family Barbecue in Bee Caves, Texas. I was there on and off for 2 years. During that time, I was offered the opportunity to go open up Kreitz Market, their second location in Bryant, Texas. So I went into that for a year, and then I had to get back to Austin. So while I was getting this ready, I went back to Schmidt Family Barbecue and worked there part-time.
You can be the greatest pitmaster in town, but if you have a new place, it takes a while to get people to know you're there.
Well, and he's in a heavy, high traffic spot, which is good, but it's a small building. And I mean, if I were him, I'd have like a cow there spinning a sign or something. But
one of those Chick-fil-A cows.
He sells out. He still sells a ton of barbecue. I mean, Robert comes all the way from
San Marcos
just to eat his barbecue. So.
Yeah, he's only been there 5 months. He's been testing out his food earlier than that, but he's been at his location for about 5 months, and he's already got a high-profile fan in him and other pitmasters. I've heard him name-dropped even in California. People were talking about him.
Well, he's got a great Instagram, and he really... I mean, one of the funny things is Clay over at Snow's has been training the women who cut and put the meat on plates to make sure the plates look good, and he always checks my plate when I come out, and so... That's something that you have to kind of curate the look because everyone's taking a picture of it. There's this whole foodie movement where people take pictures of what they eat, but everyone takes pictures of a platter of barbecue. I don't think there's a better... If you looked up Instagram statistics, I would be surprised if you could find something that has more following and more likes than a plate of barbecue.
Yeah, Seems that way. I mean, we put up just one of those overhead meat shots and people just start salivating.
Oh.
I know I do.
I'm looking at Texas Ranch Barbecue's Instagram right now.
Getting hungry?
Counting down the minutes until they open.
Which one stands out to you, do you think, the most? Like, what catches your appetite this morning?
Well, the pecan pie, because I didn't even know it was an option. There was some sides here. There's like this white mac and cheese that looks great. Oh, man. Hungry. See, we made a mistake, which is we went there too early.
Yeah.
And we thought they opened at 8, but they opened at 11.
Yeah, we do the early barbecue breakfast thing, and not everyone is always ready for us to eat their meat.
I like this look with the pie on the plate with all the meat.
Yeah, that's good. It's a typical meat tray, and then in the center, it's got a big piece of pie.
I don't care however long this takes. I'm going straight there afterwards. I'll just read my book outside.
Yeah, it's not far away. I mean, that's the fun part of living in Austin, of course. Not that we're bragging.
Everything's close.
Speaking of close, so we were, if you remember our Evan Leroy episode, Leroy and Lewis Barbecue, it's kind of new school barbecue, old school tradition kind of place.
Badass, high end.
Yeah,
great.
It's a cool place. We love it. This Marco's place, Texas Ranch Barbecue, is up a hill of Evan Leroy. You can actually see Evan Leroy's when you're standing in the pit of Texas Ranch.
Yeah, I mean, they're 110 feet from each other.
So you'll hear it in a clip here, but we yelled down to Evan to hopefully he would hear us. And then we took a nice stroll down there.
It's great to have that much barbecue in, 100 square feet.
Well, we like to say hi. Just say hi.
We always just say hi.
So you're actually within shouting distance of Evan Leroy here. I can see the top of his trailer, I think.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, sir. Evan Leroy's a great guy. He's got some excellent food, some definitely out-of-the-box cuisine, but it's all phenomenal. I've been there, tried it, and he's got some great stuff. Good guy.
Yeah, and you can always yell at him whenever you want, too.
Absolutely, yes, sir. If I run out of wood, I can run on there and grab a stick or two if I need it.
I'm going to yell to him. Evan! Evan! I think he heard me.
Yeah, he probably did. He definitely did.
That's me yelling for Evan.
I thought that was hilarious. I like that we go places and people are pretty ready to interact with me. They know. They're like, oh, this is this guy. I've listened to him talk about barbecue. He's chill. He's the straight guy. And then you come in and you're just screaming out the window. So never know what to expect when the meat men show up.
His lineage is out of control. He's worked with some of the best at some of the best places, like a lot of these pitmasters, and then now he's doing his own thing. That's cool.
Opie's, Kreutz, Schmidt.
You can't get much better than that pedigree.
Well, and you'll see this. We're going to see this for the next decade because everyone that gets a taste for it, if you talk, I've been listening to a lot of Gary Vaynerchuk lately. He's a real motivated guy, does a lot of advertising, but he talks about how you just have to grind. And when you find someone that would rather grind than just like sit and watch TV, these guys are, they just make as much money as they want. They make as much barbecue as they want.
Absolutely. I took a little bit of knowledge from every place that I went to, the experiences, the friendships and everything, and just kind of put my own twist on it here along with my business partner, Sergio. Sergio and Eric Varela, they both own Papalote Taco House and Azul Tequila, the restaurant here in Austin. Sergio's been in the restaurant industry for about 30 years, and they've opened up. This was their sixth business to open up 12 Bones Barbecue, which will now be Texas Ranch Barbecue.
Texas Ranch Barbecue?
Yes, the name is changing.
I saw two things on Google, and I thought that he was having competition that opened up in the same parking lot because I saw that.
Yeah, no.
So it's not 12 Bones anymore?
Not anymore. We're in the process of changing it. Yes, there is apparently a 12 Bones smokehouse in North Carolina. So,
I saw them on Instagram.
Yeah, so we're just Texas Ranch Barbecue is going to be the new name.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Say what it is, too, because, yeah. When people are searching, that's why we call it our best barbecue, because we figured that's what people would search for. Right. When they found it. That's good.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what do you want to do for the rest of your first year? Like, where do you want to go? Obviously, there's a name change and all that.
Yeah, so. Name changes. Definitely build up our client base and get people to come out and step out of the box of their normal barbecue routine and come try something else and just hopefully grow for sure. I kind of went backwards going from all the big restaurants I worked at to a trailer as opposed from a trailer to a big restaurant. So hopefully, God's willing, we can either get a brick and mortar or move to a bigger place.
Actually, when I put 12 Bones into the GPS, because I was like, I know it's on South Congress, but is it where I thought it was? So I went to check, and when I typed in 12 bones, it gave me directions to North Carolina. I was like, yeah. Stover, it's going to be a long drive.
It's a good name change because as much as I like that name, you want to have people find you, of course.
Yeah, and I think Texas Ranch is an awesome name.
Yeah, say what it is, I say. That's why we're the best barbecue show.
Well, and you see, if you check his Instagram, I mean, he cooks a lot of the traditional ribs, brisket, but there's a steak in there. There's a bunch of extra cuts, you know? He might be getting inspiring back and forth with Evan Leroy around the corner. The other great thing is, how many places can you go get barbecue and either the line's going to be long at Texas Ranch or at Leroy and Lewis, and then you can go, oh, well, I can just walk to the other one.
Yeah, again, we're bragging about living in Austin. We can do that kind of thing. Sorry, you people living in, say, Portland or Seattle.
Here's an idea you like. Let's see how much barbecue we can, like how many stops we can make in a day. You think we can do 20 in one day? Let's get like a slice
barbecue
at each
blitz.
One.
We'll call it the gauntlet.
Yeah.
A slice at each one.
A slice at each one.
So we get one taster from as many places we can go.
And we just run until, you know, we start at 11 and we just go until we run out of places or until they close.
Or we explode.
I'm good, dude. If you want, we could do it. We can like go to the gym in between. Oh, we'll ride bicycles
I might die
to the
if we
local
do that.
One.
Big belly full of meat on those recumbent bikes.
Oh, it'd be so good.
Here's Marco talking about that reverse smoker. You can hear a little bit more about how that works. Could we kind of jumble our explanation? We don't have much experience yet.
Hard to describe. I mean, if anyone out there, if you want me to describe it to you, I'll draw you a picture and send it to you on Instagram.
Yoni drew me a picture on an orange note card with an orange pen. So I had a little trouble kind of figuring out what he was drawing.
Yeah, I looked down and I was like, oh, wait, this is impossible.
It's got the firebox on one end, and the fire goes up through a tube underneath the cooking chamber where everything's the ribs and everything are at. And it comes back over the top of the meat and exits the same side of the firebox.
Now, is that more challenging? Is it different from what you're used to?
I've been able to cook a lot of different ways. I've worked on Bewley pits, rotisseries. When I first started at Opie's, I was cooking directly over coals. I've cooked on offsets, so I've been blessed to be able to cook on many different types. So it was a little bit of a learning curve because I had never cooked on a reverse flow, but I picked it up fairly quickly and just have to adjust to it. And it's been great. I mean, it works on pretty little wood consumption and runs pretty evenly throughout the pit.
It's a real meat man who says, yeah, I don't have much experience, but here I am making some of the best barbecue in town still.
Well, you see, we're all learning, right? And when you have that growth mindset, when you are focused on what you can create and how to make it better, you're always real modest about it because every time you go, oh, I could have, every time I cook a brisket, I'm like, oh, I could have done this, or I should have, you know, I put it in the cooler too soon or all that stuff. Like you're always. And it's not like you're putting yourself down and saying you suck. You're just sitting there saying, okay, how can I do this better? It's like anything. When I drive my car, I'm obsessed with like, okay, that turn, I could have taken that turn a little wider or a little tighter or turned my turn signal a little earlier so the guy behind me didn't almost hit me.
Well, the barbecue family are workers. They know how to get things done and make stuff and make it happen. I mean, otherwise they wouldn't be there.
Yeah, they're all about the grind. They're all about waking up way early, losing sleep, cooking meat, being covered in the smell of smoke. Mm-hmm. I mean, most pitmasters have like two closets or they have some sort of setup where they basically, you know, you have to strip down after you're done and just like immediately shower. And even then, when you cook that much, you probably never get the smell off of you. It's like selling fish, but yeah, it smells better.
I'm going to try to do my Brandon Lamb impression from Le Barbecue. When we talk to him, he goes, it's my natural ambiance.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not a very good impression of him. Sorry, Brendan.
Well, I mean, what's better than a big, strong man who also just smells like hot smoked meat?
Do you know?
I'm sure he just like walks into a bar and everyone just either smell him or see him coming and they're like, who's that guy?
Do you know what Brendan's nickname is in California? I heard two
what?
People say it. The barbecue hunk. Good job,
like
Brendan.
Well done, Brendan.
Yeah, he's a beautiful man. Yeah. That hair. I'm trying to grow my hair out to match his.
He's also always smiling. Like,
yeah,
I will just go get like a soda from Quickie Picky, and I'll just like peek my head out the window. I won't even bother him, and he'll be grinning.
Yeah, he's a happy guy. He's got meat and he's got guns, so he's set.
He's set, dude.
Real Texas man there.
Yeah.
Mark was a hunk too.
What's your first barbecue memory?
Oh man, honestly, to me, just barbecue. Honestly, I mean, before I had even started at Opie's, I never used a smoker or anything. To me, it was the little square grill you get from Walmart that, you know, my dad would have in the backyard, and just being back there with family on Sundays, and you know, that's my biggest memory. So I've always associated barbecue with family and good times, which I know a lot of other people do as well.
Well, and kind of at that same light, you've worked in all these different levels of barbecue. And do you feel like the love, the time, the attention, the family is, it almost adds to the flavor?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you're not passionate about what you do in that, and then to me, that's with anything, you know, I don't think you're going to have the results. I was blessed to kind of fall into barbecue and I wouldn't change it for the world. And yes, I absolutely believe that it can affect the way the outcome. I mean, if you come in, have a bad day and hate what you're doing, it will reflect in your work for sure.
We always like to ask recommendations from pitmasters. So here's some from Marco, things that he recommends at places he's worked.
Opie's, definitely. You definitely got to get the baby back ribs. Those are a really hot seller there. The baby back ribs and, of course, the brisket. Schmidt Family Barbecue, same thing. The brisket and the turkey's phenomenal there as well. Kreitz Market, I mean, you know, you always got to get a link at Kreitz. I think you always got to get some sausage for sure there and try that out. And honestly, the shoulder clod, it's a leaner cut of meat, but when done right, it's fantastic.
Wow. I always like to ask the meat men that we talk to, all these pit masters, what they'd be doing in the future, because I hope they're around. They're doing such good work that, God, if they jumped to a different career, I'd feel that they were losing their calling.
No, I mean, where would they go?
They're so destined to do this, it seems.
Yeah, I'm. That's one of the reasons I'm supporting the crap out of it.
Yeah, that's why we exist, so we can have more food in the future to
eat. Exactly.
Long term is just to, honestly, just to keep serving people great food. I mean, there's nothing that gives me better satisfaction than somebody coming in and looking at me and telling me that, you know, that's some of the best barbecue they've ever had. You know, it just all the long hours and everything that I've put in, it makes me realize that I'm doing it for a reason, you know. And just 50 years old, if I'm blessed to be able to still be cooking and making money doing it, you know, doing what I love, is, you can't beat that for anything.
There's a reason that term barbecue family. There's a reason that term barbecue family comes up a lot, because it feels very real. It seems like kind of a fake thing that people say if you don't know much about it. But once you start showing up to these places, you see that it really is like a family. Everyone knows each other. You know, if not friends, they're respectful of each other and what they can do.
Well, and everyone's just excited to try all the different things everyone's doing. They're working so much that if we run into, like, Robert never takes a Saturday off, but he happened to take this one off, so we got to see him. So he's happy to talk to everybody. He's happy to do whatever he wants, because he works so hard all the time that when he's off, he's off. He's not, like, worried about anything. He's just hanging out with his wife and his kids and eating barbecue and having a good time.
So Texas Ranch Barbecue, check it out if you're in Austin.
Yeah, we'll be there in an hour, although you won't hear this for yeah. days. So
that's why we got to have a live show.
We're going to 12 Bones.
Texas Ranch. It's still got the 12 Bones sign, so you can find that for now if you go soon. But soon it will be rebranded, new logos, and all that good stuff.
Hopefully a bigger sign.
Yeah, you can blow right past that.
Yeah.
So we got some shout-outs here for some meat men who've contacted us this week. We have Jeff Hall. He's from the Carolinas. He came down. He actually asked us before what we would recommend, so we gave him some recommendations, and he hit up pretty much all the places that we've talked about on the show, he said.
Nice.
He was here for a long time. The only one he couldn't get to this time was Terry Black's. He also went to Style Switch, which we haven't done yet, but we'll definitely hit them up this year.
Yeah, we went to a pop-up like a block away from them.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, we gotta get up there again. So he's a photographer, and he said he had a great time. He said his favorite was the chopped brisket sandwich and the beef rib a la barbecue. He called them unbelievable. And that was an unbelievable beef rib. And the brisket, of course, is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, the food at the barbecue is... I used to go there every other day.
Another shout out here. Someone who's been really pimping the at Best Barbecue mentions, as well as the Meat Man hashtag, is City Limits SQ from Lexington, South Carolina. Another Carolinas person. They were telling everyone to listen to the Best Barbecue Show, said it's good stuff. Best yet. That was our last episode. He said it was the best yet. That's
nice.
Good. He said, I wanted to point out that after I started following you and tagging you guys, your followers have way more than doubled. Coincidence? Not a coincidence. Thank you, City Limits. We appreciate it. You and all the other meat men giving us shout outs. We see them all. We do our best to repost ones, give you shout outs back as best we can. So keep doing that. We have a huge log of all you meat men saying hi to us.
Oh, and City Limits is awesome, dude. The stuff they're doing is, it's good.
Yeah, their meat photo game is strong, as is the stuff that Jeff Hall is doing, because he's actually a photographer. So he said if we ever make it out to his neck of the woods, he'll do all sorts of photos of us out on the scenes and pictures with pitmasters. He'd really? love to capture the meat men out in the wild.
Where is he?
He's in Carolina.
Oh.
He's in the Carolinas.
We need him here.
Come. Well, he was here. He didn't have time to meet the meat men. So thanks for giving us a shout out, guys. And we want to hear more from all you meat men. You can find us on Instagram at Best Barbecue, on Facebook at Best Barbecue Show, and bestbarbecueshow.com.
Yeah, and look for us on Snapchat.
That's right. All right, meat men. Meet us online and hear us next week for more Best Barbecue.
Enjoy your day. Eat some meat.
Hey, they call me the meat man.
This has been a production of Glencliff Media, produced right here in the heart of Texas. Man.